Let's stand as we read verse 1 to verse number 8, as we give an exhortation, a challenge to our fathers. Psalm 78. I'll read verse 1, and then you read verse 2 until we finish at verse number 8. The Bible reads for us, "Give ye, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth." Verse 2. "Which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us." Verse 4. "For he," referring to God, "established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children." Verse 6. "That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, and keep his commandments." Verse 8, let's read together. "And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God." Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, instruct us, teach us from your word. Because as fathers, we need you to teach us, Lord, as we lead our families. For the rest of the family, the mothers and the children, we pray to all work together, Lord, to be able to make the family strong. As we see families crumbling all over, Lord, I pray, your word will still be the anchor upon which we rest our family. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs 29, verse 18, you can turn to your Bible if you like. The Bible says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." The Bible tells us, the wisest man, King Solomon, we know is the wisest man that ever lived and will live, said in Proverbs 29:18, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he." When there is no vision, there is no direction. When there is no vision, there is no standard. When there is no vision, there is no clarity as to what we need to do and what we don't need to do. To the children of Israel, Solomon said, "Where there's no vision, the people perish." And I want us to go into King Solomon's mind as God allowed him to teach the children of Israel. When he said, "When there is no vision, the people perish," he wasn't referring to what companies have today, the vision statement of the company. To be like in KK Hospital is the hospital of choice. Okay, that's the vision. The vision in the Bible refers to the Word of God. Let's look at Deuteronomy 12, verse 28, which is also printed. God says, "Observe and hear all these words which I command thee, that it may go well with thee, and with thy children after thee, forever. When thou doest that which is good and right in the sight of the Lord." In Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 28, the Bible makes it clear, observe and hear all these words, and then ends off, "when thou doest that which is good and right in the sight of God." What is right and wrong in our lives and in this world is not what we say is right or wrong. It's what God says is right and wrong. Here is what it means when Moses told the children of Israel, "Observe and hear all these words which I command thee, that it may go well with thee and with thy children." And fathers, when you obey God, it will go well with you and it will go well with the generations to come. That is a promise from God. But we need to do right in the sight of God. That is the key. But then we read in Judges 21 and verse 25, "In those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes." In the children of Israel during that time, interestingly, after Joshua went into the promised land, okay, firstly was Moses. He was the leader of the Israelites into just to the Jordan River. Joshua brought them in, so there was another leader. But after Joshua, there was no king. In other words, there was no leader. And over time, people began to do that which was right in their own eyes. We are living in that situation today. In Singapore, everyone does that which is right in their own eyes. Or at least most. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. They become the standard. They become what is right and wrong. They become the reason why they do things. You know, it's frightening to speak to someone who tells you that the homosexuals is right. It's very scary that you go down a street in England today and you don't know whether you'll be the next one to be rolled over by a truck or be stabbed. And to those people who kill, that's part of what they believe, and to them it's right. Now, of course, there will be opposition and all that. It is scary to look at young people who say it is okay to get involved in smoking and drinking with friends who don't walk with God. It's okay. It is scary that everywhere we look, society has become whatever the society wants. I actually wanted to flash, but I just read to you. I went to the MSF. Okay? MSF is in Singapore is a Ministry of Social and Family in Singapore. Okay. I was just Googling and I was looking at the new beyond parental control cases. Beyond parental control. You know what's beyond parental control? It means parents feel that they can never control their children anymore. Okay. In the year 2008. New cases of male beyond parental control was 28. In 2009, for male beyond parental control, boys, 29 cases. Female, 63 cases. In 2010, male cases was 12. Female cases, new cases, beyond parental control, 51. I move forward. 2013, male cases, new beyond parental control cases, 36. Female, 47. 2016, last year, male new beyond parental cases, boys, 29 cases. Female, 42 cases. When I look at this, I was startled because the new beyond parental girls are become increasingly losing control. Or rather, parents are increasingly losing control of girls in the family. I was speaking to my children, and perhaps one of the reasons why parents quickly appeal to the government for help because they are more concerned for the girls. Many boys, they don't walk their way, don't care, you know. The boys is like that one. But you know, it's a startling statistic. 2016, the consistent trend is beyond parental cases of girls are increasing, or rather has always been more than boys. Now, the next one I want to share with you is the age. In 2013, 10 years and below, 10 years and below, and the parent cannot control them, is one, thankfully. But in 2013, 11 years and 12 years old, 12. 13 and 14 years old, 40 cases. And 15 years old, 30 cases. The teenage rebellion increases. 10, 11, 12, they see a total of 83 cases below 15 years old. 2016, last year, thankfully, 10 years and below, zero cases. But by 13 and 14, they saw 24 cases. And 15, they have 44 cases of children beyond parental control. Children beyond parental control means when dad says one, they always say two. They will always fight. I was trying to Google what is the source of problem. Of course, there's a whole range of reasons why it's happening. We are bringing up a whole generation in Singapore, even in churches. We have children of deacons who drink and smoke, and there's nothing wrong with that. I just spoke to a person from another church. It's a Pentecostal church. And he said the leadership have taken a vow that they will not touch alcohol because the congregation of young people, thousands of them, are drinking. If churches have to make that kind of stand, we are in a serious trouble. Do you know why? You know, in a country of 700 churches, The morality of Singapore is not increasing, it's decreasing. It's scary. When God is put on the throne of the country, the country will prosper. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. When God is on the throne and if the churches are prospering spiritually, the nation should grow in righteousness. Is it not true? You know, we need to pray for our leaders. Now it's public fighting. We have big problems. Oh yeah, we are one of the richest nations in the world. Get this, money is not going to buy you peace. Money is not going to buy you peace in your family. Money is not going to buy you peace. How many rich people have millions of dollars and yet their families are broken? Fathers, what is the vision that you have for your family? I believe in Psalm 78, God gives a vision to the Jewish people. And I believe God wants to give us a vision today. I want to give you three truths from Psalm 78 that by God's grace, not your grace, God's grace, this vision you will hold for your family. That the day that you leave planet Earth to go back to heaven, if you're a Christian, you would have left behind people in your family who love Jesus Christ. Because I can tell you, you can leave behind big houses. It's startling. Some of my friends have already bought condos and landed property for their teenage children. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But you know what we're teaching our next generation? Money speaks. Which it does. But money will not take you to heaven. In fact, God says it's harder for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And we need to just come back squarely to what the Bible teaches. Three truths. Number one, the vision, your vision, fathers, for your family must not come from anywhere else but the word of God. Look at verse 1 and 2. Psalm 78, verse 1 and 2. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. The word vision in the Bible, if you cross-reference to 1 Samuel 3, verse 1, you realize that God is telling the children of Israel to anchor the vision you have for your family in the word of God. Look at 1 Samuel 3, verse 1. It's written there. I'll read. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. Listen, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. In other words, in the nation of Israel, there was no word of God that was freely preached and openly preached. It was so precious that you've got to look for it. I shared before that in the 21st century in Singapore, we have the amount of Bible resources we have today is phenomenal. One click of a button, you can have all the commentaries you want in your apps, in your handphone. But yet, we are in a society and we are in a generation that Bible knowledge among Christians is at the lowest in history. Why? Because we're so distracted. Because we are choosing to take the vision and the philosophies of the world for our family. God said, your vision must come from my word. You have to incline your ear. The Bible says, give ear. Give ear. You must give your ears. Give your listening. Don't listen to the internet. Don't listen to the philosophies of old. Don't listen to whatever people say. Give ear to my word. If you ever have a direction from your family, Christian fathers, it has to come from the word of God. That's what God says. Give ear. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. You know what's meaning of incline? You know when how many of you who are older find that when your children talk to you, you must say, huh? You must kind of, you want to move. Why? Because you want to listen clearly, yes? You know what God says? Incline your ear. The word incline means to move closer. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. God is telling the children of Israel, hey, you need to move your ears closer to me. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will tell you stories. I will tell you dark sayings. You know, dark sayings has the idea, not that it's horror stories, right? All right. And by the way, I fully believe Christians ought not to dabble in horror stories, horror movies. Because it increases fear. God didn't give you a spirit of fear, so don't go and play with fear. All right? One fine night when everything is peaceful in the night and you begin to see things. Okay? Because it plays on your mind. But anyway, come back to here. The word dark sayings means difficult sayings, things that we may not understand. God says, I'm going to teach you that. I'm going to show you what you don't understand before. Number one, the vision for your family must come from God's word. But number two, truth number two, this vision needs to be communicated. Look at Psalm 78, verse 3. Which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. There are four points in this. The vision of God needs to be communicated. Communication involves a knowing the truth of God's word. Fathers, please take note. Which we have heard and known. Hearing implies attentiveness and a listening to the words of God. Some of us as students don't listen to our teacher. And then, after that, we will call our friends, hey, homework page what and what? Now? What did teacher say? Hey, you never listen to me. Some of your students are smiling already. You know what? It's more important. You can always WhatsApp your friends. I don't think you can WhatsApp God. Actually, you don't have to WhatsApp God. It's always inside the Bible. But what God says, it implies a listening. You need to listen to what God has to say. Don't just read your Bible. Listen to what the Bible says. I had one I shared before. There was one evangelist who started his message by saying, stop reading your Bible. I said, huh? And he paused for 30 seconds for effect. Stop reading your Bible. I said, what in the world is this guy talking about? And start letting the Bible read you. You know what he was saying? All of us read the Bible filled with knowledge. This evangelist was concerned, he's saying, and start letting the Bible convict you. Analyze you. We need to pay attention to what God says. This is what Psalm 78 verse 3 says, which we have heard and we have known. We have heard and we have known. Communication involves a knowing of the truth. It implies understanding of the truth that is taught. You cannot teach what you don't understand. It's very easy to teach out of a lesson plan. It's a different thing to teach out of your life. Fathers, our children don't need philosophies of men. They need to know from our lives what we have learned from God and pass on to our children. Does that make sense? They need to know what is real. You know, some people say, I don't have to go to church. I can just go internet. Oh. Just listen to sermon audio or just listen to... I don't need Bible. I just go to the internet. I got lots of information. True. But fathers, your children will not have the privilege of seeing a father who knows who God is. Fathers, you need to know God's word. Not here. Because knowledge puffers up. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. But love will build up your children. Fathers, your children need to know that you know God. No point telling your children something that you have no idea who he is. Does that make sense? Some of our children know more about Batman, Robin, Superman, who else? Peter Pan, Pang Pang Pan, and all the... You know who our superheroes ought to be? Daniel, Joseph. Superheroes need to be Jesus, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who stood firmly for God against the odds. Because when our children can know that our fathers know what they're talking about, they're more inclined to listen, number one. Number two, communication of the vision involves a teaching of the truth. Verse 78, verse 3 says, and our fathers has told us. Fathers, our children will not know God's word if you don't open your mouth and teach them. You need to teach what you know. That's what the psalmist says, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. Our fathers have taught us. How much do we talk, fathers, let's look up, how much do you talk about your faith to your children? Amen. But fathers, how much do we talk about our faith to our children? I mean, that's very convicting. We need to get right with God. Communication involves, or the vision involves a teaching of the truth. Third point in verse 4, communication of the vision involves teaching by our life and our lips. In verse 4, it said, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and the wonderful works. Three things our children need to see, the vision in us. What do they need to see? Number one, the things that bring praise to God. Because the Bible says in verse 4, we will not hide them from their children, showing to them the generations to come the praises of the Lord. What things bring praise to God? We need to show our children. What things bring praise to God? Answered prayer. Fathers, when was the last time you show your children answers to your prayer? That's a praise to God, is it not? When was the last time you say, I read the Bible, and wow, God really spoke to my heart. I praise God for it. Your children can hear you praising God. The things that help the child to see that God is strong, showing to come, to generation come, the praises of the Lord and His strength. How strong is God in your life, fathers? Think about that. Because the Bible says, I will show to my children the strength of God. Oh, I got many stories to tell my children. Good and bad. And they've seen for themselves sometimes what God can do. Fathers, we need our children to not just hear about God. They need to see God in your life, the strength of God in your life, what God can do. I don't know about you, but that's very convicting and humbling. But then the next one is, and His wonderful works that He had done, the things that God has done and can be seen. You know, when the Psalmist 78, when he wrote to the children of Israel, one of the biggest things in the life of Israel that Israel have seen, that God has done? Opening of the Red Sea. Did you know that God put in Exodus 13 a constant reminder to the Jewish nation, I want you to remember that I was the one who brought you out of the land of Egypt by opening the Red Sea. And that became the Passover, the New Year, the celebration of the freedom of the children of Israel. What was another deliverance that God gave to the children of Israel that Israel celebrates to this day? The festival of Purim. When Haman wanted to kill the entire nation of Israel, Queen Esther went in and God delivered the children of Israel. And God put a Purim festival to remind the children of Israel, don't you ever forget that it was God. Fathers, what can you tell your children that God has done in your life? Is your life just discouragement? Is your life just brokenness? Is your life just nothing? I don't think so. You know, it's interesting. A child can have everything and still be discontented. Okay? What I'm trying to drive at is this. Sometimes, you know, we have a lot of things. But there was this pastor who preached about, how many of you do like peas? You know peas? You know peas? P-E-A-S. Peas is very healthy. How many of you don't like peas? Put your hands. Don't be shy. As a one person, two person, three. Okay. There was this pastor who said his mom, the pastor is an Italian, and the pastor's mom makes the best spaghetti. And they say, you know, they don't call it, they call it red sauce in Italy. They don't call it spaghetti bolognese, they call it red sauce. And they say, apparently you do the spaghetti bolognese, you got stirred almost a whole day on it. And so
Oh, you just love the sauce and the beef and the what's the cheese they put?
Mozzarella, right?
Like, why?
But as part of the whole thing, the mom will always insist you must finish your peas. And then he's like, mom said, you must finish 19 peas. He's like, don't like the peas. And the whole time for lunch, the peas disturbed him so much that he could not enjoy the spaghetti that he enjoyed so much. What am I trying to say? You know, Father, sometimes we forget what God has done for us because of something we just cannot stand. We miss the blessings of God because we complain, we gripe, we cannot stand one thing in our life, the peace. What are some peace in your life that block you from seeing the blessings of God? You know what is the implication? If you do not see the blessings of God, you will not tell them to your children. Because your heart is so controlled by, I hate peace. And because of the peace, I don't have peace in my life. And so I don't see the blessings of God. The psalmist teach, we will tell the wonderful works that God has done. You know, as the children of Israel walked through, they don't have a home, you know. Remember, when they left Egypt, they were on the way to the Promised Land. They left Egypt, they carried other things. They haven't even reached the Promised Land. You know what? They started praising God. You know why? They saw the Red Sea open. As they move along, they didn't have enough to eat. God provided for them. Sometimes as fathers, we need to, in the vision in our hearts, we need to communicate and teach our children by our life and our lips. When troubles come, fathers, what is your response? For some fathers, they don't come to church. For some fathers, they stop reading the Bibles. For some fathers, they don't pray. For some fathers, they start blaming everyone else. What is your response when trouble comes to your family, fathers? Will you teach your children, problem comes, that's fine. I just need to love God more. I just need to pray more. I just need to let God take control. Or, Yoha, wow, have you seen, how many of you remember this cartoon? Wait till your father gets home. Well, that means I'm so old. It's a cartoon, maybe you ought to watch. So wait till your father comes home, you know. And the father will come back grumpy and he will scold everyone in the family and all that kind of thing. And then the children will run away, you know, don't wonder, and start blaming, and start pointing fingers, and start. How do we respond to trials in our lives, fathers? Is it always complaint? Is it always discouraged? Is it always, is it always not serving God? Is it always not reading? I'm putting this because, fathers, we need to rise up, you know. Do you know why God told Joshua to be strong and of a good courage? Do you know why? If you read the context, what God was telling Joshua was, you are going to the Promised Land. You are going to face all your enemies and obstacles. Before you go into the Promised Land, Joshua, I want you to be strong. You need to decide in your heart that you are going to lead the children of Israel with strength in your heart. And when you face the obstacles, you're going to be courageous. You're going to stand strong when everyone is falling down. You're going to stand strong when there's so much obstacles. When everyone is, I cannot. You're going to say, no, we can, because God's with us. We need to be strong, fathers. And your children need to see the strength in your life. How many fathers are so weak, they're not standing for God? That's why the condition in the family is not strong. Fathers, there must be a time we make a decision in our lives. You're going to be strong in God. Not strong in your own strength. Not strong in your own philosophies. Not strong because someone tells you. You're strong because God told you to do so. You have a precious family. Do you realize that if you have a family, you've been blessed? How many orphans are there out there? Fathers, our family need to see us strong, and we communicate the teachings of God by our life and our lips. That our children will not just hear us scolding them. Our children will see us trusting God and praying and loving our children. Oh yeah, you got to spank their backside once in a while, you know. That's a biblical principle. But our children overall will say, hey, our father loves us. And,
oh yeah, dad just lost his job. But you know what? Dad went into the room and prayed and asked God to provide. Man, I gotta learn that, man. Your children will grow up to complain and fight against everything, fathers, if you don't learn to trust God. Our children will only learn to trust God when we do. Fathers, because why? They learn by imitation. That's why in Psalm 78 verse 4 tells us that we will not hide them from our children. We will tell our children the strength of God and what He has done. Another one, communication of the vision is a commandment from God. Look at verse 5. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. Fathers, if you don't teach your children the word of God, you sin against God. I'm telling you this straight from God's word. God appointed a law. Fathers, bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. That's in the New Testament. Fathers, you will sin against the soul of your family if you will not teach them the word of God. If God is not a... I'm not talking about philosophies of life. I'm not talking about what you think. I'm talking about the word of God. The philosophies of this life will go away, but God's word will stand forever. The next generation need to know God's word. All right, number one. First truth, the vision must come from God's word. Secondly, the vision needs to be communicated. And thirdly, oh, I just want to touch on, let's turn to Luke chapter 4. How do you communicate the truth of God's word? You know, some fathers say, oh, you guys, you better listen to me. I'm the head of this house, you know. You better walk with God just like I walk. And the father have an angry nature. The children will listen to the anger more than the word of God. Let's look at how Jesus taught the people. Luke chapter 4. And fathers, we need to learn from Christ. Luke chapter 4. I'll read from verse 17 and 18. And then I'll focus on one verse. Fathers, it's one thing to communicate the truth. It's another thing to communicate it such that they will receive it from you. You know, poor testimony of fathers will only... If our children see us... And children, when I say this, don't you dare use it against your parents. It is for them to learn. You do not have any right, children, to judge your parents. The only thing you do is to honor them and love them, pray for them. Parents are not perfect. Amen? We will fall. But children, God has given you responsibility. And you are to obey that. But when you judge your parents and call them names, God in the Old Testament said these children are to be stoned to death. If anyone cursed mother and father, you will bring them to the leaders and you will stone them to death. That is still in the heart of God. But fathers, our children will respect and love us when we have shown them two things. One, the law of God, and the love of God. And love sometimes doesn't give them everything that they want. But love gives our children what they need. Sometimes they need an encouraging word. Sometimes they need father to be present. Sometimes they need this on the backside. And sometimes this on the backside gets a bit harder. But some fathers like to this on the backside so much. This on the backside need to be balanced with love. Okay? Let's look at the gracious words of Christ. Luke chapter 4. Okay, let me just go quickly in verse 17. Sorry, verse 16 first. Jesus, he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, that means his habit, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Fathers, we need to set the example of church attendance. Don't tell your children to come to church if you don't. After a while, when they are 17, 18 years old, dad, don't come to church, I don't have to. Mark it down. It's happening in America. 70% of young people leave church. Because why? They saw the hypocrisy of the family. I need to be clear too. I don't come to church just because I'm a pastor. Some pastors don't want to come to church. We come to church because we love God. Fathers, we need to have that. Don't give any excuse to miss church. The only institution in the New Testament that God ordained for the teaching and the maintaining of Bible truth. You know why our children are not faithful after a while? Mark it down.
It has to do with this. Jesus was faithful to the local church. Verse 17, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, to recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now Jesus taught this and taught this, and after he closed the book, verse 20, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue was fastened on him. Notice in verse 22, and all bear him witness, and wondered at the gracious words. You know what's gracious words? Graciousness of the words. You know what's a gracious words which proceed out of his mouth? Words that give grace to the hearers. In other words, when we teach, our children need to know that it's not you do or you die. Our children need to hear. You need to hear God's word, because Jesus loves you and he wants you to walk in his ways. And I love you as dad, and I'll teach you. Yeah, I've got to stand on your backside sometimes, I've got to be clear with you, but I still love you. You don't teach your children out of frustration, you don't whack them just because I need to enforce my way. No, you don't. I've learned in my own Christian life, the truth of God is not just taught, it must be caught. And fathers, the only way you're going to make your children catch it, if you have a relationship with God and a relationship with your children. And we talk about relationship with children, we have to be careful, because sometimes we treat our children as friends. Children, if you think that your father and mother is only your ATM to get what you want, you're sadly mistaken. The word father and mother in the Bible is like a title, just like the president and prime minister. The word father and mother in the eyes of God are positions of authority. You don't fight it. If you fight your father or your mother, children, you're fighting God. I say again, if you fight your father or your mother, or argue against your father and mother, you're fighting God. Because the authority of God has been delegated to the father and the mother for the running of the house. Okay? Now, for fathers, we don't take this authority and say, you better listen to me, I'm your father, I'm in charge. Or they listen to you for 10 years. After that, they're out. Because you know why? God has not designed for authorities to be abused, but to be used to bring our children to God. And fathers, we have, when you are given delegated authority from God, God expects you to be like him. And that's why if you say, I can do it myself, you're going to fail. But you say, God, I need your help to be a good father. That's when things start happening. Your life will change, your attitude will change, the way you talk will change, your lifestyle will change, your decisions will change. We need the grace of God, fathers. And mothers, please pray for God's grace upon our fathers. God's strength upon our fathers. Not so much to just want to control the family, but to live for God. The biggest gift, wives, you can give to your husband is to pray, respect, love them, and let God deal with your husbands. Don't try to change them. But husbands, we've got to be responsible and take up what God has given to us. We cannot shirk the responsibility of being more like Christ. Let me finish. Truth number three. What is God's vision for your family? I'm going to go from verse 6 to verse 8 in Psalm 78. God gives a vision for your family. Fathers, can I ask you a question before I go? Do you have a vision for your family? Okay, if you have, you just write down yourself. But I'm going to give you God's vision for your family. If you don't have a vision for your family, maybe you can take this time. In verse 6, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who shall arise and declare them to their children. Verse 7, that they might set their hope in God. In Psalm 78, verse 6, that the generation to come might know them. First vision for that my family will know God and his truth. Because in Psalm 78, verse 6, very clear that the generation to come, I know them. Them refers to what God has said. It must be a desire, fathers, for our children to know every word of God. That's why we put our children all through FBI. That's one thing. But from young, from year one, infants, zero onwards, already singing, Jesus loves me, this I know. I remember even before Jeremiah, Joanna, Jara, and Esther Jabba were singing, Jesus loves me, this I know. Because why? Babies can hear. Amen? They can kick your stomach. Huh? Agnes will tell you. They'll kick it day and night. Your children respond to music. Children respond to the word of God. Memorize scripture. All right, don't give them like six verses. Just say God is love. Just say Jesus loves you. Just say all have sinned. Our children can learn, and you'll be amazed what they can learn. And children remember things. By the way, a child by the age of two learn more than when you go through 4 years of university. Did you know that? By the age of two, our children have learned more information in this life. I'm not talking about calculus and trigonometry and all that. I'm not talking about that. The things of life that the children learn by the age of two is much more than if you go through a 4-year degree. Did you know that? I've read professors in university have done studies. Children learn a lot. So, music? Don't use rock music. Use good music. Teach them the word from the young. That our children might know God and His truth. Not know Bible stories. Anyone can teach Bible stories. Only a father with Christ in his heart can show your children who God is. Does that make sense? We need to show our children God, teach our children God and His truth. Number one, my family will know God and His truth. Number one. Number two, verse 7, that they might set their hope in God. That my family will place their hopes in God alone. This world will not give you hopes. So what if you have 3 PhDs? You can lose your job. In retrenchment. So what? So what if you have a bank account? Banks can close down. It's done before. Our children need to know that the thing that is stable in life is only God. And death, which is of God. Our children need to, you know the process of getting a child who is so self-centered to a place of actually trusting God is an entire training process. And fathers, if we do not have a time on a regular basis to teach our children how to know the truth, not just the word, the truth behind the word, and also how by your life, teach them how to live, your children will not catch the Christ life. My family will place their hopes in God alone. The next vision, verse 7, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, that my family will always remember the goodness of God, especially in times of trials. The Bible says here that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God. In other words, in your family devotions, in your family, always talk of God's goodness, what God has done in your life. Tell them about what you've learned in the Bible and how God has blessed you or how God has taken you through a trial or how you have fallen, how God pulled you up. The family will always remember the goodness of God. The next one, verse 7. They might set their hope in God, not forget the words, but keep His commandments. My family will obey God and His commandments. You know, for your family to obey God and His commandments, fathers, we have to obey God and His commandments first. Because otherwise we become hypocrites. Oh, that's so hard, right? Even for myself. And sometimes I got to apologize to my children for being inconsistent. Fathers, it's okay to say you're sorry. There are some fathers who will never say they are sorry. Fathers, if we come to a place we will never say sorry to our children for our inconsistent Christian life, we are so proud, your family will go down a wrong road. But that the vision is that my family will obey God and His commandments. Next one in verse 8. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The psalmist was just looking back at the history of Israel. They're so stubborn and they're so rebellious. My vision is my family will be submissive, obedient, and always loyal to God. Always. They will not be like their fathers in the old generations. You know, I see in this one thing, Fathers, for how many of you are first generation Christians? Put up your hand. Now, as your family has not been Christians before, then, okay? Can I say this? When you live for God, when you live for God from your generation onwards, and you live for God, and the next generation take on the faith and keep on going, you essentially cut off the devil's control over your family to take people to hell. Does that make sense? Do you understand what I'm saying? Which leads to the last vision. Look at verse number six. That the generation to come might know them. Even the children which should be born and should arise and declare them to their children. Another vision, fathers, for your that my grandchildren will also hear and know this truth of God. So for all the fathers here, it's not just about your family, it's about the next generation. Will your grandchildren know God? Will your grandchildren know God? It's not just about your family, it's your grandchildren. You know, there was one Jewish marriage counselor that I heard one time. He's a Christian. He says, in order for the next generation to be on fire for God, fathers, you must be a bonfire. You know what's a bonfire? You must be so on fire for God, and then the heat can transfer to the next one. If you're just a candle, heat's not going to transfer. You can't get much heat from a candle. Fathers, we need to be on fire for God. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. Satan will do all he can to destroy your family, fathers. But I want to challenge you by saying, you are not alone. Amen? Because if you will submit to God, God and you are a majority. God is able to make your family strong. My children have said before, I've mentioned before, our family is only together by the grace of God. Up to today, your family will be too. There's no difference. It's all before God. God loves every family. And every family may have the trials of life. That's normal because of sin and our way we deal with one another. But we need to have a vision that God must be first in the family. We must have the priority that God is not about my convenience and my comfort, but God is about the conviction of your word. What do you say in this situation, Lord? And we've got to change, fathers. We've got to put off our excuses. We've got to put off things. I'm being firm with fathers because the next generation will not know God as their Savior unless we are willing to take Him as our Lord. I say again, the next generation will not take our Jesus as our Savior if we will not honor Him as our Lord. If He is not first place, if He's not on the throne. I was watching a Christian movie and it says, you know, in the throne room of your life, it's either yourself or God. We've got to get off the seat, fathers, and let Jesus be the throne room of them. Let Him control. In other words, fathers, you will spend more time in the Word of God than the internet, searching for remedies or answers. You will spend more time in prayer, fathers, because you are the high priest of your house. You will spend more time guiding your little ones and your children rather than trying to chase after the education. I'm not saying don't study. I think you know that. But we spend more time planning for holidays than we do what we need to teach our children. Oh, we need to change. As we close, fathers, what is a vision for your family? Did you take down some of these, fathers? I hope you do. And then tell God, which ones of these I really need for my family? Oh, Lord, thank you that you're helping me teach my children, but Lord, forgive me that, you know, sometimes I get angry too much. You know, confess that to God too. And let God just change us. And fathers, if you don't do business with God, your family will go out of business. For God. I say again, fathers, if we don't do business with God, very soon you will find your children will not want to just do business for God. And I know you who are here today, can I challenge you and encourage you? No, I know it's Father's Day. Fathers, in this world,
there's so much dangers. Our children need to see us strong and courageous. We need to be strong and clear that we will lead our family. We will not allow anything to destroy our family. You know, when the ISIS came, or rather when the ISIS all over the world now, right? You know what? Singapore is on high alert, and so is many countries of the world. Why? To protect its citizens. Can I say, fathers, ISIS will come to your family. Spiritual ISIS. If you are more concerned about other things rather than the spiritual nature of your family. I'm not saying your work and all that, no, please don't get me wrong. I know in Singapore we always have to balance the thinking. But don't give the reason, Pastor, if I focus on the spiritual, then how are the bills and all that? Well, Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do you trust that? Fathers, if you don't trust that, your children will not trust that when they grow up. I challenge you. If our God is real, there is nothing He cannot provide. Psalm 37, I've been young, and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I'll finish with this verse. King David said, look, I was old, I was young, I've always seen God providing for me, now I'm an old man, yet I've never seen those people who walk with God, the righteous forsaken. Because God will never forsake those who walk with Him, nor His seed begging bread. You know, I believe with all my heart, if as fathers, I will take responsibility for my faith to live for God. Jeremiah, Joanna, Jaira, and Esther Joy will always see God providing for them. Because that's a promise from God. And then they absorb and they take their faith for themselves and say, I'm going to live for my family in the next generation. Would Jerubbaal, Hannah, Leah Grace, would Joseph, Ezra, take the faith of God? Would Miguel take the faith of God in their hearts from their father and say, Dad, you've done your part. Now I'll do mine. I will love God with all my heart. And I will live for Him. Because, Dad, I saw you living for God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for what you have told me to say. I mean, this is from your word, the vision. Heavenly Father, we really need your help. And I pray for every father that we will be strong and courageous, Lord, as we lead our families. Lord, I know I've been very energetic about this message. But Lord, it's not what I say that's going to change hearts. But it is your precious word. As the fathers take note of the points, and then by your grace and your spirit, turn them into practice in their lives, of how they will teach their children the word of God on a daily basis, of how they will help their children understand what it means to walk with God, what it means to have faith, what it means to go through the trials and yet trust God, so that to the next generation, our grandchildren will know of God. Eyes closed, heads bowed, no one looking around. Can I ask a question? Is there someone who says, Pastor, pray for me that I will be a strong father, that I will take responsibility for my faith, that my children may see Christ in me. Is there someone, Pastor, pray for me? Amen. I see that hand. Amen. Just put it up, put it down. You do business with God, brothers. Anyone else? All right, let's pray. Father, I pray for every father that's put up their hand. I don't know what's in their heart, but I know you know what's in their heart. I pray for strength and courage to be strong for you and their families, that the next generation will be strong. The next generation will look back and say, my dad led the way through God with his strength. Help us to be like Joshua at the end of his life. To be able to say, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Father, I pray for our fathers, Lord, myself included. We're all weak in our flesh. We can only be strong in Christ and what He says. Heavenly Father, I pray that you protect every family in Ambassador who choose to walk with you.
And Father, for the fathers that are not here, O Lord, help them to come to a place of full surrender and walking with you. As we sing the closing hymn, I pray, Lord, that this will be real in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just sing the song day by day. What a prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, whatever that you want to say, Lord, I pray that you have touched the hearts of your people. I pray for every father. Lord, you have given them a family. I pray they will treasure the family. I pray they will instruct the family to walk with you. Lord, I pray that their faith, that their place in Christ will be transferred to their families by not just their words, but by their life. That they will make sure their life is in line with your precious word. Both in terms, Lord, of what is true, but also in the spirit and attitude of the Holy Spirit, of love and joy and peace and long-suffering, when the Holy Spirit has control over us. I pray for every mother, Lord. Every mother also goes through the stresses. I pray for strength and courage to trust their husbands. I pray for strength and courage to still be obedient and loving and respectful according to your will and your word. I pray for every child in the family that they would see, Father, the importance of the leadership role of the father, and Lord, that the children will learn to obey. That would mean giving up what they want. That would mean surrendering their hearts to Christ. And yet, Lord, we know because of our selfish nature, so often we fail, Lord, to cooperate. I pray that in every family that is represented here, that your Holy Spirit, Lord, will begin to grip hearts in every life, in every family. And that you will pull every family back together. I don't know how you're going to do it, Lord. Only you know the unique situations in every family. But we know, Lord, you're a unique God and you're a special God. You're a God who knows what to do in every situation. And we trust you on your plan. So, Lord, I commit every family here. I pray for a brother or a sister who in their hearts would wish that their mom and dad is here. I pray that you would answer that prayer in a mighty way. That when they go home, they will be the light to their parents, to their fathers. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do in our life. You're such a gracious God to us. Thank you, Lord. I pray for these three truths, that our vision will be from your word. It needs to be communicated, that we, as fathers, will have a vision for our families. Strengthen us, Lord, by your grace, through your word, as we depend on your Holy Spirit. We thank you as we leave this place, as we view the new place later. I pray, Lord, that you just be with us, give us wisdom, insight, what we need to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.